This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
All right, ready to roll here on a Saturday morning. Nice to have you along with us. Thanks to our friends at Insperity. Visit Insperity.com for powerful HR solutions with exceptional follow-through. You can also get your questions in on Twitter at ESPN97.5. We have a lot to get to as far as the Black Desert Championship, as the PGA Tour makes a return to Utah for the first time since 1963. We'll get to Houston Open winner Steven Yeager. He's leading the action there in Utah at 14 under. We'll get to RSM Classic winner Adam Svensson. We'll get to Harris English as he's trying to win his fifth PGA Tour tournament. And we'll give you some coverage from the Open de France as well. And Tim Schmidt will join us at 8:30 to give us a little update there from the Black Desert Championship. We're here with six-time major participant and coach of the great Angel Cabrera, Charlie Epps. Charlie, how are you this morning?
I am fine, Will. I am highly motivated because that's the way you get me with all the script that we have for our show this morning for our listeners. You know, we've been doing this a while now, and I think you know what you're doing.
Charlie, you've been doing it. Charlie, what, is this year, this is about 35 years for you on air. I mean, what a history on the airways you have as far as teaching golf. And we have a ton of listener questions to get to. The mailbox is completely full as far as you teaching the listeners the world of golf.
Well, we'll just take one at a time, and hopefully we'll teach them some things that will help their golf game.
Absolutely. Let's get to a couple things in review from last week, Charlie, real quick. Kevin, you won the Sanderson Farms Championship. Now, the whole premise with this fall series is that players who are ranked worse than 50th on the FedEx Cup money list are currently playing the fall series right now. And players have to get to between 51, they have to get to between the ranking number of 51 and 60 in order to make it into the first two signature events at Pebble Beach and Riviera. And in order for the player to have status for all the regular season events in the spring, they have to stay inside the top 125. Last week, Charlie, Kevin Yu won the Sanderson Farms Championship. He moved from 96th to 60th on the FedEx Cup standing. So his place in the signature events of 2025 is secure. You had Texas X Bo Hauser lose in a playoff. And this is what I want to get your thoughts on, Charlie. Tournament favorite Keith Mitchell, you know, he three-putted the 72nd hole to miss out on a playoff, and we have a little audio from Keith Mitchell after his fourth round there at the Sanderson Farms.
A little disappointment, especially 18. I hate that it ended that way, but the way I played on the back nine probably wasn't. It definitely wasn't my best. I only hit one fairway, which was 18, and I was just grinding to stay in it. The fact that I had a putt to win the way I played on the back is pretty awesome. Unfortunately, I hit it a little too hard and thought it was going to break a little right at the end, and it didn't. So, long story short, it's, you know, I'm glad I fought 71 and a half holes.
Charlie, how do you teach players to get out of their own way there on the closing stretch of a round of golf?
Well, you know, he handled a hard situation. It was a day that his best was not with him, and so he had to manufacture a golf swing and then try to keep in the hunt for the victory. I take my hat off to Keith. What he just said is really big. I mean, he's not letting it get to him. I mean, that's just sport. Sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. You know, the agony of defeat is really harder to handle than the thrill of victory. So he'll be back. He's a good player, nice young man, and I wish him all the luck in the world.
No doubt. Well said, Charlie. And yeah, the Texas X, University of Texas, former standout Bo Hauser, he had a great chance to win down the stretch there as well. He got stymied off the tee on 18 in regulation there on Sunday. You know, he was able to chip out, and Hosmer was actually able to get in a playoff with Kevin Yu, but his driver just didn't really hold up down the stretch there. And Kevin Yu, you know, the former Arizona State standout, he punched his first PGA Tour victory. As far as the DP World Tour last week, Charlie, Tyrrell Hatton, you know, great European Tour player, two-time Bay Hill winner, who is now taking his talents to LIV Golf. He won the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship for the third time in his career. I was just in tears. It was really exciting to see Tyrrell Hatton win alongside his dad last week. His dad played with him in the Pro-Am format. He was Hatton on what that meant to him.
When we got to the 17th green, that's when I saw a leaderboard and realized the position I was in. I started to feel pretty nervous there, and it felt very good when I held that putt on 18. It's an iconic event on the DP World Tour, and to have been fortunate enough to win it three times now is incredible, and being able to walk the fairways with my dad makes it even more special. He had a front row seat for it today, but yeah, I imagine he kind of felt every emotion with me. Yeah, it feels really good to finally win a tournament when he's here too.
Charlie, gotta be a really special moment for Hatton to win it. Three courses like St. Andrews Old Course, Carnoustie, and Kingsbarn alongside his father. That's got to be really special.
Yes, it is. And that's one thing the magic of golf brings, is that you can have an event like this and have your loved ones be your partners and get out there and enjoy the day on the golf course, but yet compete. And his father didn't seem to get in the way. Emotions, you know, run really strong in that setting, and my hat's off to both of those two gentlemen for handling the victory the way they did. And like I said, that's just another special moment that golf brings to a son and a father.
Yeah, and as a family, Charlie, I know you've had many special moments around the old course there at St. Andrews.
Yes, sir. I learned to love Scotland since 1972, and I've played all of the golf courses. I've taken hundreds of people over there to experience golf in the old country. And it's not only the golf, but it's also the evening events that make it very special. And the Scottish people are very warm people. They understand that tourism is a part of their livelihood, and so they welcome everybody, and it's a fun place to go.
Inspiring win there for Hatton at a special place. Three great golf courses. The Alfred Dunhill Links Championship continues to thrive as a tournament. You had great players there like Rory McIlroy and Jon Rahm. To see Hatton get it done by one over Nick Kolsarts, excellent product there. Another high-pressure tournament last week was the Korn Ferry Tour Championship. A ton of PGA Tour cards on the line. Charlie, you've been in that Q School, you know, high-pressure scenario there. Braden Thornberry was the former Ole Miss Rebel prodigy that needed to finish second or better in French Lick last week to get his PGA Tour card. Here was Thornberry on the emotion behind that back nine on Sunday in Indiana.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird thing because it's, you know, getting my first pro win as well as, you know, getting to the PGA Tour. So it's I've just worked so hard to get here, and I've had a lot of stuff I feel like hasn't gone quite my way over the last, like, 5 years or so. And to finally have something go my way and play well at the right time is just amazing.
Charlie, you can hear the emotion behind Thornberry. I mean, not only getting his PGA Tour card, but that was his first pro win. I mean, what goes into the preparation behind a tournament like the Korn Ferry Tour Championship or even a Q School setting when a PGA Tour card is on the line?
Well, it's an amazing game, and it puts you right at the edge of victory, and then it'll take it away from you at any moment, any swing, and the players know that, and they're trying to work their mind to where that doesn't become an issue. And you can hear by his emotions that coming down the stretch, that's just a really hard scenario, and there's more that fail than win. And that's why they always say it's so hard to win on the PGA Tour. It's just so hard to win in life. And here we have a young man who is right, has his face on the telecast, and he knows what's going on. He's aware of what's going on, and he's just fighting his way home. And my hat's off to anybody, but my hat's off to him. That was really quite a victory for him to hold it together coming down on that diabolical golf course. What do you think of that course?
It was a great test, Charlie. I mean, as far as, we got to watch a lot of great professional golf last week on some impressive courses. I thought the Pete Dye course there in French Lick was a really special property, and it created a great crescendo there on Sunday. You had guys like William Mao and former SMU standout Noah Goodwin, and my former teammate in high school, Kaito Onishi from Japan. He got his PGA Tour card. So to see it all happen at a very tough golf course, and then to have the ceremony after where they're announcing the card winners and everyone's in tears and celebrating with their families, really special moment. And you had local guys in the field, Sam Bennett and Cole Hammer, Sam from A&M, Cole from University of Texas. They gave it their best last week. They did not get their cards to the PGA Tour, but both of them will be back on the Korn Ferry Tour next year with new opportunities and new chances to make it to the PGA Tour. So I expect to see those two, Bennett and Hammer, get to that next level here in the next couple of years, Charlie.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it, but If once Liv makes up its mind what it's going to do, and the PGA Tour, where we have more spots for these great golfers to play, I think that's got to happen. And there's so many people that I just saw a clip today that Finau is watching his 12-year-old son make a hole in one playing together. And there's another champion in the making. He's got the Finau blood, and he's going to be a tall young man. It's the emotion of the victory is really neat to experience, and my hat's off to everybody.
No doubt. We got to take a quick break here, Charlie. As far as what's going on in the world of golf right now, you've got the Open de France on Golf Channel at the moment. What a leaderboard. What a story there with 16-year-old amateur golfer from Ukraine, Lev Grindberg. He is four back. He's 4-under through 14 in this third round. He's only four back of Jesper Svensson's lead there at 13-under. Thomas Dietrich's in the mix. Justin Rose in the mix, 1-under today, 8-under total. A lot of good stuff going on as far as the Open de France. That's taking place at Le Golf National, where they played the Olympics. So tune in to that. Get some live action in there on DraftKings and MGM. We'll break down the Black Desert Championship at 8:30 with Tim Schmidt from Golf Week. He'll join us on the program, give us the latest there from Utah. We got to take a quick break. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference. Back after this.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
All right, before we get to your questions, I know Charlie has a message for business owners who feel like the walls are closing in. Charlie, you got a lot of business owners out there who are just feeling a little bit overwhelmed at the moment, and I know you have a fix for them.
Yes, I do, and there's so much to do with golf. The golf is a great sport, but it produces money for charities, and on Thursday, I was at the board meeting for the Insperity Champions Tour event. We raised some money, some good money for its charities. And it's because of the people that love to come out and watch the game, watch the stars. And in golf, you get up close and personal and be able to see Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player and all the great champions of yesteryear. But Insperity is a company that started in 1986, and it's grown so quickly because it knows what it's doing. And its chairman, Paul Sarvadi, has taught its core of 4,000 employees how important they are to them, and they know how to treat people. And in life, if you know how to treat people, you can get the most out of them. So Insperity has been very successful in human resources, helping small businesses. You know, they don't have time for everything, and so they let their human resource problems get solved by Insperity. Insperity is a company that's 4,000 employees strong, and it's all over the world. So if you need help and you're running your small business and want some Insperity magic, give them a call, log on to Insperity.com, and they will be there in a minute to analyze what your situation is and help you. So Insperity is a company that you cannot go wrong. Insperity.com.
That's right. Insperity.com is where you can find an HR company that makes a difference. Do not let the obstacles keep you from realizing your full potential as far as the world of business. Get the relief you need from an HR company that puts you and your employees on a path to success. We continue with the world of golf. Houston Open winner Stephen Yeager is leading the Black Desert Championship at 14 under. He had an incredible round of 63 yesterday, closing out with four birdies on his last five holes. RSM Classic winner Adam Svensson, the Canadian, is one shot back after he posted 69 yesterday. Charlie, in that first round, Adam Svensson, he shot a 60, Charlie, and he comes in the scoring tent, and the scorer asks him, you know, Adam, you were one shot away from 59. What was going through your mind there? And he goes, well, first off, I forgot where I was at in the round. I had no clue how many under I was. And number two, he thought the golf course was a par 72. I mean, how are you around a golf course for 3 days and not know what par is on the golf course? He had a chance at 59, Charlie.
Well, you know, there's a young man that's really into his trade, and knowing the par and all those other things, he was focused on his game, and it got him into a position to almost break 60. And as sports psychologists will tell you, that's a great mind to have on the last hole, that you don't really care what you're shooting, you just got to execute and make the right decisions with the clubs and trying to get the distance correct. So my hat's off to him, and that's quite an accomplishment by a young man.
Yeah, here was, we have a little bit of audio from Svensson after his first round, after that 60. Let's hear a little bit of that from Adam Svensson, the one-time PGA Tour winner, after his play on Thursday.
You got to get a little bit lucky here and there, but overall I played very well.
When did it kind of come on your mind that there is a chance for 59 during the round?
To be honest, I thought it was a par 72, so I didn't even think about it, really.
When did you realize it was par 71?
Until I saw my scorecard.
Oh, really, in scoring?
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing the mind of a pro golfer, Charlie. Sometimes less is more there, and they're right there between the ears.
That's exactly right. It's just like, we watch football, we watch baseball. You know, the batter gets up, and they don't care if that ball's coming at 100 miles an hour. They're going to see it and swing it and see what happens. And you can't be worried about results. You just got to be worried about execution. And that's the trick of becoming a good golfer, is that you really aren't counting every shot. I mean, that's the results will speak for themselves after the round. But once you get on 16 and you're about to break your best ever, and you start counting, you're not going to finish around very good.
It's just like that story you tell, Charlie. I think you were in. I think you were at PGA National, and you tripled the first hole. You didn't count your score the rest of your round, and you ended up coming into the clubhouse with a pretty good score.
Yeah, I shot even par after tripling the first hole.
And PGA National is no walk in the park. One of the top five toughest golf courses on the PGA Tour.
That's right, but they don't get into counting the strokes. You just get into making shots one after the other and add them up when you get to the scores, Jim.
No doubt. We'll get back to the PGA Tour leaderboard. Once again, stick around, 8:30. We'll bring on Tim Schmidt. He'll give us the latest from Utah. And as far as the DP World Tour, that's live right now across the pond in France at Le Golf National, where they hosted the Olympics. Jesper Svensson is in the lead there at 13-under. And you have other top European names like Thorbjørn Olsen, Fabrizio Zanotti from Paraguay, Thomas Dietrich, Matteo Manassero, great leaderboard there in France. Let's get to a couple of your listener questions. This one's from Brendan. Charlie, my instructor keeps telling me my takeaway is too far outside or inside, and we haven't had any success fixing it. I watch players like Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods and Dustin Johnson, and it seems like all of their takeaways are different from each other. How do you approach that with students?
It is. Golf is an individual game, and because of your muscle structure and the way your body's made, there's going to be a Jack Nicklaus swing and there's going to be a Lee Trevino swing. But one of the good, things that you might have in your backyard is a garage. And if the garage, if you put your rear end up against the wall of the garage and make your swing, the garage will keep the club on plane going up and coming down. And that's a good way, and you can have your mom and dad, take a picture of what you're doing. And once you get that feeling, the club going up on the plane that the swing is designed for, you might say. And then the grip pressure has got to be the same, constant, but not too tight, because you got to let your hands, wrists, and arms swing the club up and swing the club down on plane. And if you really want to look at the definition of what a plane is and then swing the club on the plane, and you'll become a much better ball striker.
What was the idea behind Ben Hogan and kind of that look and that feel of taking the handle away first, Charlie? What was the idea behind that?
Well, he, starting off in the game of golf, Hogan was really a bad hooker of the golf ball, and the ball would go left, and he needed to do some things to offset that club getting stuck behind him and so on and so forth. And if you take the handle back first and leave the club behind, that will make the club go up a little more on plane, and it'll help you get out of if you have a hook. So the backswing is the start of the swing, and you've got to make sure it's kind of like backing out of your garage in the morning. You got to go straight back, and you want to go straight back with that club to get the club started. And when your shoulders turn, the club will be on plane. So my mother-in-law, she had one problem back in the car up in the morning. She'd forget to open up the garage door.
That's great stuff there, Charlie. So after a solid takeaway, what's your number one tip there as far as how a golfer can then properly rotate to get to the best position to make a good downswing at the golf ball?
Well, like Bob Toski taught me and Jim Flick early on in my career with the Golf Digest teaching staff, the swinging motion of the arms turn the shoulders. The swinging motion of the arms, the shoulders will follow. Now you've got to unwind, and so now the shoulders have to start downward, and the arms will follow the shoulders. You don't want your arms starting the downswing. you want your shoulders to drop. You want that right shoulder and that right elbow to drop next to your right hip. Now you're on the inside, and you have a good chance of hitting a good shot.
Yeah, that's great stuff. Let's get Charlie. I mean, the main theme there, and this might go for putting as well, but the golfer has to use the big muscles. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, the whole body is involved in the golf swing, and you start. You know, the golf swing is predicated on how good your hands are on the club. With the grip is so important. Not only the position of the two hands, the left hand and right hand, but also the grip pressure, which will allow the club to swing without any problem. You don't want to have the brakes on. You don't want to have too tight of a grip pressure. That will never allow you to become the golfer you want to become. A good grip is vital.
That's biblical, Charlie. Let's get to one more question before we have to go to break here. This is Russell in Fort Worth, Charlie. He says, my local pro says that my slice comes from an open club face, and I try to shut it at address, but on video, I see that I open the club face on the way to the top of the backswing. What's the fix there, Charlie?
Well, the tip there is review how you place your hands on the club. If you're right-handed, you put your left hand on the club first, but you put the club in the fingers of the left hand, and the palm of the left hand is facing more downward, to where when you put your right hand on the club underneath the left hand, the palm of the hand is facing more skyward. So they're a little opposing each other, but they have to work together, and that's why the grip pressure is so important. And as you swing the club back, don't let the grip pressure tighten up. But do what our friend Scotty does. He has a club with a grip that's made for his hands for a practice tool. Get one of those, and that will help you put your hands on the club correctly.
That's a great tip there, Charlie. I saw Minwoo Lee, who was on the International President's Cup team. He's on the cover of Golf Digest this month, and he was talking about how, you know, there was a question to how he checks his position at the top of the backswing, and he said the same thing, Charlie. It all starts with grip. If his grip is not in a correct position, he doesn't feel like he can set the club at the top the way he wants to.
That's exactly right, and then the swinging motion of the hands and the arms, if the grip pressure is correct, will allow the club to get in the slot.
Great work there, Charlie. We're going to get back to you here in about 15 minutes in the fourth segment. Next segment, we'll bring on Golf Week's managing editor, Tim Schmidt. He's live from the Black Desert Championship there in Utah, where the PGA Tour is making its first return to Utah in over 60 years. And this is a brand-new golf course. The front nine opened in 2022. The back nine opened in 2023. It was Tom Weisskopf's last design. We're going to get to some questions for Charlie there in the last segment. He knew Tom Weisskopf, knew him well. Get to some stories about Weisskopf there. But Black Desert was his last design. Our friend Tim Schmidt had an exclusive interview with Patrick Manning, who is the managing director at the Black Desert Championship. So we'll get some insight from him on what they have going on there in Utah. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Back after this with Tim Schmidt.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Oh, yes. Golf Week's managing editor, Tim Schmidt, joins the show live from the Black Desert Championship. Tim, it was great to see you at Whispering Pines there a few weeks ago. Great to catch up with you. Always love chatting, talking Bills football and the world of PGA Tour golf. Thanks for taking some time to come join us on the show today.
Always great to talk to you guys, Will, and thanks for having us out to Whispering Pines. That is one of my favorite places on the planet. Such a cool venue.
Tim, your Golf Week's Adam Shupak just led his second round review with such a great quote, and it was Harris English talking about how this black lava rock that's off the fairways at the Black Desert Championship, he said it's unlike anything he's ever seen. What were your thoughts on the surroundings there at Black Desert when you first arrived in Utah?
Yeah, so I actually flew home to Austin late last night. I was there from Tuesday until Friday. I just left them. I've got some other engagements. As a matter of fact, I have to go to Austin City Limits today. Well, that's the kind of
busy guy, Tim. ACL, baby. That's going to be incredible.
You know that. But I have to tell you, when I first stepped on the property, and I've been in and around Arizona and Utah for years. I actually I went to Arizona State. I worked at the Arizona Republic for a while. There is something completely different about the red rocks that kind of ring this golf course and the black lava streaks that run through it that are so striking that even, you know, look, tour players are folks that get to do a lot of fun things around the planet that you and I might not get to do. Even these guys seemed overwhelmed by the beauty of this golf course. And I spent some time yesterday. Tom Weisskopf designed the course. He passed away in 2022 from pancreatic cancer. I spent some time with his wife yesterday morning. We had coffee together, and she actually broke down in tears talking about what this property meant to her husband, who had designed 50, 60 golf courses and is a World Golf Hall of Famer and, you know, has done incredible things in the golf world. And she teared up and said to me, when Tom came to this piece of property, he turned to me and said, this is special and this is like nothing else I've ever seen in my life. So when you get responses like that from, that's not you and I, Will, going out and playing, you know, Memorial Park and saying how wonderful we think it is. These are lifers who've traveled the globe and they're saying this might be the most special place they've ever seen. That's really something, and that's what we saw a lot of this week as players came on property.
Incredible stuff. Once again, we have Tim Schmidt with us, managing editor of Golf Week. Such a unique design there, Tim. Adam Svensson said he thought there was about 11 blind shots at Black Desert this week. What's the general reaction to that as far as players are concerned?
As far as what? I'm sorry.
Adam Svensson said there was about 11 blind approach shots. That's a pretty unique situation there as far as the iron play and as far as approach shots. You don't normally see that many blind shots as far as a PGA Tour setup.
Yeah, it's an interesting layout. And, you know, look at the scores. I mean, it's not like it's impeding players from going low by any means. But there, you know, I talked with the guy, the managing director of the whole property yesterday, and a guy named Patrick Manning, who's a really interesting cat, by the way. I mean, you know, one of these guys who sold billions of dollars in real estate and just kind of has big visions for things. And he said, you know what, we're going to have to tweak this golf course in the future. There's some cool things about it right now, but we also are taking feedback. There's a first hole where they hit over the road, and this isn't cool like St. Andrews. This is this bizarre, you know, they're hitting over basically a road that drives through the middle of the property. There's a whole bunch of quirks like that that I think that there will be some rerouting changes for the pros. They just wanted to extend the tips back on things as far as they could. But overall, you know, even with some of the shots that maybe aren't what they need to be, remember, they rushed this thing through. This is like less than a year ago that they decided they were going to hold this event there. They've been basically, I mean, the whole property isn't even done yet. The back pool, the massive pool that's behind Black Desert Resort isn't even finished yet. There's some changes that are going to need to be made. And by the way, I mean, the scores on the opening day were 11 under, 10 under, you know, whatever else. They're going to have to make this a little bit harder golf course for the pros. However, I will tell you from spending time on property, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that the management crew that is around and, you know, organizing this tournament is going to not only make this special for this week, but they're going to make this even more special in the future. So don't think that this tournament's going away even if the score is 25 under this week. This is going to be a place that the tour is going to want to be for years to come.
And Manning even expressed some interest there about, you know, hopefully one day getting this move to the spring. I'm sure that's a wish of a lot of directors that manage tournaments here in the fall series.
Well, hey, look at Jim Crane wanted to get the Houston Open into the spring, and he did so. So it's not unfathomable, right? I mean, the fact that we here in Austin lost our spring event and lost an event altogether shows that anybody, I mean, every event is still in flux, you know, aside from the majors and a couple of spots, that the schedule is constantly evolving. I think that the fact that the players will be on his side, and I'll tell you why I say that, the setup there is so unique. The players are really kind of in a cocoon where they can go and they can stay in this premium housing. They could take an elevator down, work out in the fitness facility. Then they can go to this incredible player dining hall. The caddies hall is right off to the side. And then there's a practice facility that's private, unlike other places where, you know, they're kind of mobbed by people. Now, yeah, they still come out and mingle with the crowd. It's not like the fans have lost the full experience. But the players love this, the fact that they can really get fired up and focus on their game. So I wouldn't be surprised if player input helps put this back into a meatier part of the schedule at some point.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite parts of the interview, Tim, when y'all were talking about practice areas for PGA Tour events. It's something that I really haven't thought about too much. And Manning expressed that, you know, he really felt players need a little more space from the fans when it comes to practice areas. Tim, you're at a ton of the best stops on the PGA Tour over the schedule. What are your thoughts on how close the fan is to the player during pre-round warm-ups at your average PGA Tour stop?
Well, what do I think? I mean, I think I love it. I love the fact that the players are in the mix. What I'll tell you is what I think and what players think are very different. And let's face it, Will, this world is moving toward player-driven amenities, right? I mean, I used to be a pro football writer with the Buffalo Bills, and, you know, they're now talking about how player access won't be given to potentially to sports reporters in locker rooms anymore, and instead they'll bring players out, which kind of kills the fact that right now in any NFL locker room, you can walk up to any player and ask any question while they're getting ready. You know what? The players don't like that, and players in golf have been able to get their way, especially through this whole PGA Tour Live Golf split. I'm sure that the players are like, yeah, that's what I want, is to be set apart from the fans when we want to be. And the fact that this is catering to them. I thought it was so interesting yesterday. Like, Patrick Manning, the general manager of the resort, the managing partner of the resort, he brought up fan experience like twice to me, and he brought up player experience like 20 times. I mean, so for him, the focus wasn't necessarily on fans. The fans will get there. The fans will have fun. The fans will want to be there because it's cool. But they understand that getting the players to want to come is number one, because if you have the big names, the people will come out. So I do think this will be something that other places will emulate. More places will want to be like Black Desert, where they can put those players in a cocoon, make them happy, and make them want to come, even if it's not a major or a, you know, even one of the players' championships of the world that we'll call a pseudo-major. These are still big events, and this may be one in the future because of the fact that the players want to come there.
Outstanding stuff, Tim. Last question for you. You know, Manning, you know, he got the PGA Tour event here at Black Desert very quickly. He's also not wasting any time as far as getting together with the LPGA Tour. Is that right, Tim?
Yeah, so it's funny. I could tell you that the PR guy, you know, you know this, Will. There's always a PR guy that helps you get in touch with these folks. And he was sitting right next to me as I talked with Patrick Manning, who said, you know, started to kind of divulge LPGA secrets. I think there's something really big in the works with them. And he looked over at the PR guy that was sitting next to us, who gave us the "you have to stop talking" kind of look. There's some big things coming. I would not be surprised if by the end of the year, which the CME Championship is when they announce the LPGA schedule for 2025, I wouldn't be surprised to hear that not only is Black Desert getting a prime spot, maybe somewhere around the Chevron Championship, by the way, so that people could go right from Houston to St. George. Wow. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's got one of the top purses on tour starting very soon. This is something they want to aggressively go after as women's golf.
Tim, we appreciate your coverage. As usual, that is exciting stuff there from the Black Desert Championship. I look forward to seeing you in November at the Spirit. Keep up the great work, and we look forward to talking with you soon.
Always good to talk to you, Will. Thanks so much.
That was Tim Schmidt, managing editor of Golf Week, on the other side. Great to get some perspective on the Black Desert Resort there in Utah from Tim. Always appreciate his time and his coverage. On the other side, we'll bring Charlie back in, answer a few more questions, give you a pick here for the weekend at the Black Desert Championship and across the pond there at the Open de France. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Back after this.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and Charlie Epps.
Charlie, we just got off the phone with Tim Schmidt, and he had coffee yesterday morning with Tom Weisskopf's wife, and Tom Weisskopf, the Black Desert Resort was his last design, and the Black Desert Resort is where they're playing the Black Desert Championship, in case you're just joining us. But, Charlie, you knew Tom. This was a 16-time PGA Tour winner, won the 1973 Open Championship, finished runner-up at the Masters four times. But I think a lot of people don't know that Tom Weisskopf, also a world-class golf course designer, and this was a project that meant a lot to him. Okay, we'll wait for 1 second until we get Charlie Epps on the line. But in case you missed our interview with Tim Schmidt after the show, you can find that on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. I think we have Charlie Epps with us. And Charlie, I was just talking. You know, Tom Weisskopf was a good friend of yours, and not only was he one of the best players in the world, but this was a guy that had a real passion for the world of golf course design.
Yes, he did, and he was a character. He was one of the best swings in golf to date. I mean, if he had today's equipment, he was an exceptional swinger of the golf club. And, you know, he went to school at Ohio State with Jack Nicklaus, and everybody thought Jack was great. Well, if Tom Weisskopf could have thought and had a mindset the way Jack Nicklaus he did, he would have won probably 20 majors. Tom was a perfectionist, and that is not a good trait when you're a golfer. You can't be a perfectionist. You can't hit everything perfect, but in his golf course design, you can, because it's something that you make out of the dirt. And he just did a wonderful job with his golf courses. And he designed a golf course in my hometown where I grew up in Argentina. And it's a magnificent golf course in the mountains of Cordoba, Argentina. And I hope
is that El Tarón, Charlie?
Yes, exactly right. And I've played it. It's wonderful. A friend of mine, family, they made a subdivision around the golf course. It's been very successful, and he had a talent, he had an eye, and God rest his soul, but he could hit a golf ball too.
Unbelievable. Yeah, now 16-time PGA Tour winner, won an Open Championship, incredible resume, and yeah, the list of golf courses that he's designed. I mean, here in Texas, Charlie, I mean, Mira Vista Country Club in Fort Worth, Texas, Courtney Connell's the head pro. I played a lot of golf there in college. Incredible golf course. I know your grandson, Charlie Wiley's probably playing a good bit of his qualifying rounds there at Mira Vista. John Wayne has John Wayne's house, I think, was located right off the sixth hole. It's a cool little feature of Mira Vista. You know, Weisskopf designed Quail Hollow, a couple golf courses at True North. You know, the Ocean and Cliffs courses at the Olympic Club in San Francisco. What a list there. Great to remember the great time, Tom Weisskopf. Let's get to a question, Charlie. This is Elijah in Orange County. Hey, Charlie, I saw Jim Nantz did a story with golf.com, and aim point putting was brought up in the conversation. Nantz said that he can't stand looking at it as a broadcaster. What are your thoughts on aim point when it comes to green reading?
You know, it has some merit, but I too don't like it. It just is way away from the what golf is all about, and you're walking all over everybody's line the way it's designed. I mean, you got to keep, you know, it's just weird. I mean, just like cross-hand putting, you know, I'm not sure that belongs in golf, but this way of reading a green is, I don't do it, and I wish it had never been invented.
Yeah, some players would agree as well. I mean, even Max Homa, you know, one of the great players of this generation, you know, he's been called out on it quite a bit as far as the time it takes him to read greens and use aim point, and you know, he had some fans telling him he was taking a little bit too long, and he actually responded to them and said he was going to try to speed up that process. But between, you know, feeling it out with your feet and putting up the, you know, whichever fingers it may be as far as aim point and closing one eye, it's a long process, Charlie. I mean, as a playing partner, you know, to play with someone who is using this process on the greens, it just, you know, golf takes long enough, and I think you're seeing junior golf tours try to take some steps to speed up the pace of play a little bit, and aim point surely does not help with that.
Well, they even allow the caddies to do that, and that takes up more time, and they stepping on everybody's line, so I don't think it belongs in golf.
There you go, Charlie. As far as the Black Desert Championship, you know, you have a four-time PGA Tour winner in the mix in Harris English. He's making his 334th start on the PGA Tour. You know, he got asked yesterday, you know, he's in between that 51 and 60 range on the money list, which means, once again, if you stay between 51 and 60, by the end of the fall, you're in the first two signature events at Riviera and Hawaii at the Century. English was asked about this and how much he's thinking about the rankings going into this weekend. Here was his answer.
Yeah, I mean, every time I tee it up, you're trying to win. I'm not really caught up in all that. Playing good golf is a lot of fun, and that's why I play. So I'm here to try to win, try to get up the leaderboard and get those nerves going on Sunday and those butterflies and see if you can pull off a win. So if I'm doing those things, then I feel like I'm doing everything I need to do, and I don't really get caught up in all the points right now. And if it works out, it works out. If not, I'll start at the Sony Open and get after it again next year.
Charlie, it's a different mindset with these veterans. You know, you hear from other players like Sam Ryder and Ben Coles. You know, they're monitoring the points list. They're seeing what they have to do, you know, to stay inside the top 125 and to stay inside the top 60. Harris English, a little bit different. He's an established PGA Tour winner, and he's focused on getting a win going into this weekend. Okay, we'll get back to Charlie Epps here in just a second. But yeah,
I'm sorry. I got caught in thinking about Harris English's attitude, and he's not really into results. He just wants to go out and play good, and whatever that brings, it brings. And all these other kids that have the talent are all into the results. Boy, I got to make the top 60. No, you just got to go play golf. And if your golf game's good enough, you'll get in the top 60. You can't focus on results. Or it's like if you don't win a tournament, you're going to quit the game of golf. No, just go out and play and see what happens.
I think Harris English, I think he gets it done at the end of this weekend and gets PGA Tour win number 5 when it's all said and done there in Utah. Charlie, one more question for you before we head out. You have the SAS Championship going on the Champions Tour. Your guy, Angel Cabrera, 6 back of Billy Andrade's 7-under going into the weekend. What's the latest on Angel? Playing pretty well there in North Carolina this week.
Yeah, right now he's inside the top 72 that would make the playoffs on the Champions Tour. So we hope he has a great day today and he stays within that 72, but I think what he's been through to get to the end of the season and see where he's at, my heart's you know, I'm so proud of him for picking it up and been in a bad situation, and he's improved it, and the future looks good for him. So go Anko.
Seems to be consistently in the top 10 there on PGA Tour champions. Charlie, will Angel Cabrera be at the Masters in 2025?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they got that all worked out. He's got his visa. He'll be able to come back to Masters and have you know, pardoned him for what he's been through and understand it. And he's earned an exemption in there, so they're going to invite him again. So, that's all good on that front.
Charlie, great work today. A little program announcement coming up November 2nd. That's Saturday morning, November 2nd. We'll be interviewing Masters champion Sergio Garcia exclusively on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. We'll be at Sergio's Four Kids ATX Foundation golf tournament there at Barton Springs in Austin. Looking forward to catching up with Sergio and picking the mind of another Masters champion like Charlie's student, Angel Cabrera. We look forward to that. We look forward to being in Austin on November 2nd. Charlie, great work today. Thank you, Abigail, behind the ones and twos. We'll see you next Saturday here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference.